Chapter 9. At 7:30, sunlight woke him. The money was still there, untouched. The doors and windows had not been opened as far as he could tell. He fixed a pot of coffee, and as he drank the first cup at the kitchen table, he made an important decision. If someone was after the money, then he could not leave it, not for a moment. But the 27 Blake & Son boxes would not fit in the small trunk of his little Audi Roadster. The phone rang at 8. It was Harry Rex, reporting that Forrest had been delivered to the Deep Rock Motel, that the county would allow a ceremony in the rotunda of the courthouse that afternoon at 4:30, that he had already lined up a soprano and a color guard, and he was working on a eulogy for his beloved friend.
"What about the casket?" he asked.
"We're meeting with McGargle at 10, Ray answered.
"Good. Remember, go with the oak. The judge would like that."
They talked about Forrest for a few minutes, the same conversation they'd had many times. When he hung up, Ray began moving quickly. He opened windows and blinds so he could see and hear any visitors. Word was spreading through the coffee shops around the square that Judge Attlee had died, and visitors were certainly possible. The house had too many doors and windows, and he couldn't stand guard around the clock. If someone was after the money, then that someone could get it. For a few million bucks, a bullet to Ray's head would be a solid investment. The money had to be moved. Working in front of the broom closet, he took the first box and dumped the cash into a black plastic garbage bag. 8 more boxes followed, and when he had about $1 million in bag number 1, he carried it to the kitchen door and peeked outside. The empty boxes were returned to the cabinet under the bookshelves. 2 more garbage bags were filled. He backed his car close to the deck, as close to the kitchen as possible, then surveyed the landscape in search of human eyes. There were none. The only neighbors were the spinsters next door, and they couldn't see the television in their own den. Darting from the door to the car, he loaded the fortune into the trunk, shoved the bags this way and that, and when it looked as though the lid might not close, he slammed it down anyway. It clicked and locked, and Ray Attlee was quite relieved. He wasn't sure how he would unload the loot in Virginia and carry it from a parking lot down the busy pedestrian mall to his apartment. He would worry about that later. The Deep Rock had a diner, a hot, cramped, greasy place Ray had never visited, but it was the perfect spot to eat on the morning after Judge Attlee's death. The 3 coffee shops around the square would be busy with gossip and stories about the great man, and Ray preferred to stay away. Forrest looked decent. Ray had certainly seen him much worse. He wore the same clothes and he hadn't showered, but with Forrest that was not unusual. His eyes were red but not swollen. He said he had slept well but needed grease. Both ordered bacon and eggs.
"You look tired," Forrest said, gulping black coffee.
Ray indeed felt tired.
"I'm fine, couple hours of rest and I'm ready to roll."
He glanced through the window at his Audi, which was parked as close to the diner as possible. He would sleep in the damn thing if necessary.
"It's weird," Forrest said. "When I'm clean, I sleep like a baby. 8-9 hours a night, a hard sleep. But when I'm not clean, I'm lucky to get 5 hours. And it's not a deep sleep either."
"Just curious. When you're clean, do you think about the next round of drinking?"
"Always. It builds up like sex. You can do without it for a while, but the pressure's building, and sooner or later you gotta have some relief. Booze, sex, drugs, they all get me eventually."
"You were clean for 140 days.
141.
What's the record?"
14 months. I came out of rehab a few years back. This great detox center that the old man paid for, and I kicked ass for a long time. Then I crashed."
"Why? What made you crash?"
"It's always the same. When you're an addict, you can lose it any time, any place, for any reason. They haven't designed a wagon that can hold me. I'm an addict, bro. Plain and simple."
"Still drugs?"
"Sure. Last night it was booze and beer. Same tonight, same tomorrow. By the end of the week, I'll be doing nastier stuff."
"Do you want to?"
"No, but I know what happens."
The waitress brought their food. Forrest quickly buttered a biscuit and took a large bite. When he could speak, he said, "The old man's dead, Ray. Can you believe it?"